morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I'm Mary Griffiths. This is the Mary Griffiths Show. And we have an election coming up. And last Thursday, we heard from the challenger, Jeff Van Camp. And today, it's the mayor of Quincy's turn to tell us why we should re-elect him to another four-year term as mayor of Quincy. So I welcome Kyle Moore to the microphone. Good morning.
Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to see you again.
It's good to see you. Congratulations right off the bat, an endorsement from the Quincy Herald Whig.
Yes,
so
yes.
They think that you're the man for the job. So I'll give you that congratulations right off the bat. Let's talk a little bit. You're running for mayor to be reelected. So you actually have, you know, you have a record to run on, a record to stand on. One of the big controversies in this race between you and Alderman Jeff Van Camp has been about prioritization of limited tax monies. And some people, the Police and Firefighters Union, have endorsed your opponent. Some are afraid maybe you don't put a high enough priority on the police and fire departments or public safety. Jeff Van Camp has said it will be his highest priority. How do you respond to that, Mr. Mayor?
Well, sure. I think that's people trying to politicize very complicated budget issues. To tell you how important police and fire and public safety is to my administration, it is the those two departments take up a majority of our budgets. We're investing more in police and fire today than when I took office. Our police and firemen have had pay increases during my term, so we're paying them because we want them to be well paid for putting their lives on the line, and we're investing in the necessary equipment they need to do their jobs. We're also looking at innovative ways that we can continue to deliver efficient and effective, but yet affordable public safety. So for an example, let's look at our police department. A lot of times there's a lag between when an officer retires between then the time that his or her replacement is on the street. And so we've worked with Chief Copley to hire cadets as soon as somebody gives us notice that they're going to retire. That way there's a seamless transition. We've worked with Tri-Township Fire Department to enhance fire protection on Quincy's east side. We're working with our social service agencies, our clergy, our judicial system on the Quincy Turnaround Partnership to change the way that we police. So, one, from a budgetary standpoint, we're investing more today than when I took office. Police and fire are a majority of our budget. We're innovating the way that we address public safety. We're paying them a fair wage. And we've also, public safety pensions, you know, are an item of discussion in every city. We have invested over 4 years, $1.5 million above the state minimum in police and fire pensions, and we've done that by directing new revenues towards those pension boards, and also any time that we have a good year, we direct some budgetary savings or fund balances to those funds.
Now, the pension thing is very complex, and as you said, this is where the average voter kind of may get glazed-eyed over. Because this is not something that the mayor can really decide. The state of Illinois says this is how much money you're supposed to have in your pension, and you have to pay that first before you do anything else. Now, Mr. Van Camp wants to have this kind of blue ribbon panel to maybe find a way to do the pension funding a little bit differently. Do you agree or disagree with that? And how is your approach? Because you mentioned putting more money in. Mm-hmm. A lot of that, though, is pensions, just more money for the pensions.
Sure. What I can tell you is, coming from the private sector, the last thing we need is another commission or a panel. We have police and fire pension boards. We have a finance committee. We also have a city council. And so what the commission's going to come back with are one of three options. First is to do what we are doing now, which was done under Mayor Schultz and Mayor Spring, which is to fund our police and fire pensions at the minimum or above when we can afford it. The second, they're going to come back and say we need to direct new revenue or more money toward police and fire pensions. Well, if you're not cutting anything, that means you're going to have to tax, and so that means that's going to be a tax increase. Or there's going to be a third thing, which we looked at during my administration, called a public safety pension bond. That's when you go and borrow money. You invest it then in essentially the stock market and hope that you get a greater rate of return than your interest rate. We looked at that during my administration and said, no way. So if it's taxing you more or putting your money at risk, I don't need a committee to tell me that that's not an acceptable solution.
Okay. Well, it is a difference between the two men. And one thing that's very intriguing And you talk about politics, and really, we discussed this, I said, with Mr. Van Camp. I wish, why do you have to be a Republican, an independent, or a Democrat? The streets of Quincy, the fire, when my house catches on fire, I don't care who comes and puts it out. They just better get there quickly. So sometimes these partisan issues poke up their ugly heads. Why do you think, though, that the police and firefighter unions, the men and women on the ground there doing the job every day, they chose not to endorse you, a known quantity? That gives some people pause. So how do you explain that when you've given them more money, they've gotten higher wages? How do you explain
that? Well, I think that's the question that taxpayers have to do. So if you have an elected leader who invests more in those departments today than when he took office, given them much deserved pay increases, has shown up any time that he's invited, talks to them a lot, what really is the bottom line for that endorsement? And I'll tell you, I come in to elected office as a businessman, and I ask every single department to not grow at a faster rate than your pocketbook, Mary. And sometimes that means that departments can't grow at a rate that they think they deserve to grow at. Now, I'm not singling out any department, but when you hold the line on spending, sometimes you pick up a few critics along the way. So the question shouldn't be for me why we've done all these things and they're not happy. It should be, well, you've gotten pay raises every year. Your departments have had more money invested in them. You have a mayor who cares enough to work with your chiefs to innovate the way that we deliver public safety. Why is that not good enough? And then what does that endorsement have entail? What's behind that endorsement?
Do you think in hindsight it was a mistake to temporarily close the fire station near 24th and Cedar?
No. We made the best decision we had with the information we had at the day. And I would remind you, Mary, that for all the scare tactics that my opponent and certain people have done during this election, the response time for those living around Station 6, even when it was closed, was still faster than it was on our southeast side. Yet I didn't see a lot of people screaming that if you lived out at John Wood Community College, your response time is now longer than 15 minutes. So the response time, if you lived around Station 6, was still better with it closed than what other people are getting in the city. And actually, we have a scorecard measurement of the percentage of time that we respond to a fire within 5 minutes. That's the national standard. When Station 6 was closed, we responded within 5 minutes at a greater percentage of the time than when it was open.
Will eventually, if you are reelected, will part of the conversation be just relocating fire stations? In other words, the brick and mortar exists at a finite place in time, but the city keeps growing.
A fire station has never put out a fire. It's where they are at, where our manpower at, and also how they fight the fire. And so we have not built a new station since 1976. Quincy has grown to our north, to our east, to our south. Obviously, with the new school buildings, we're going to need to address that. And so what I would like to see is a modernization plan for our Quincy Fire Department. And the Chief Henning has said if that means four, he's okay with that. What that would mean is actually more men on a fire truck, which would help them better fight the fire. There's fire science behind what they do when they're at your house. But if it's five and we can afford it, that's fine with me. We have to look at the long-range best interest of the Quincy Fire Department and also of our taxpayers.
What about merging with Tri-Township Fire Department? Is that do you think it's economically feasible? Do you think it's politically feasible? And was that something you'd like to see done in the next 4 years, or is that farther down the road?
I think that's further down the road. It's depending upon, you know, if the governor institutes a property tax freeze, I think then it'll necessitate more action on their end than ours. We've certainly taken steps to help have better coordination between the two with that automatic aid agreement. I'm certainly not against it, but that wouldn't mean that we privatize our service. It wouldn't mean we're responding, you know, that Tri-Township's responding in lieu of the Quincy Fire Department. It would have to be the other way around.
Okay. Anything else you want to say on fire, and police protection. Now, Jeff Van Camp said that's his number one priority. Mm. Is that your number one priority, or is that
my
tied
number?
With
my
something?
Number one priority is jobs.
Okay.
You know, this is the difference between me and my opponent. My opponent thinks that you're here because of government, and I believe government is here because of our taxpayers. And so I'm here first and foremost to make sure that everybody in Quincy has a life-fulfilling career that they dream about and has opportunities to better themselves. And without jobs, without employers investing in our community, we cannot provide the services that you expect.
Well, this is very interesting because as mayor, you've been involved in something that I'm sure you're very proud of. It really has nothing to do, as you said, with, quote, running our city. It doesn't have anything to do with the water tap turning on or a street being repaired, but it's this private partnership that you've gone around and developed so that children who live in our area and want to stay in our area can get trained for jobs in our area. It's a phenomenal program. But why is that the job of the mayor?
Well, I think first and foremost, the job of the mayor is to be an effective CEO for the city of Quincy, which is why, and we could talk about it a little later, we really got our finances in order. But two, you have to have a vision outside, and that's broader than City Hall. You know, what is going on in your community? What are the challenges? What are the opportunities? And how do you continue to grow your city for generations? And so when I was elected into office, I spent the first 3 months visiting 50 of our largest employers. The number one issue they raised was that they have jobs to fill, but they didn't have people who were skilled to fill those jobs. And so we started to look at other communities. We got together leaders at John Wood Community College, our high schools, the Community Foundation, and Gretif, and came up with what we call the Quincy Promise Program. The Quincy Promise is a four-year pilot program for any graduate of any of our Quincy high schools from 2016 to 2019. That says if you stay in the community, enroll at John Wood Community College in a field that's in demand by our local employers, we will raise money privately to help pay your tuition. And the goal then is to connect those students with those employers that invest into the program so there's a job waiting for them at the end. So we want our students to be 20 years old, to graduate college with no college debt, work at a Knapheide manufacturing or a Fibro.
At a head of household wage.
At head of household wage, have no debt, and maybe then buy a home and start a family. And that's the American dream, and that's what we're trying to accomplish here in the city of Quincy.
Yeah, I'm 57, and I haven't even accomplished that. So that'd be great if you're 20 years old. Well, I do applaud you. I mean, I think that's a wonderful thing. It's just, like you said, it's outside-the-box thinking because it's not what we mostly think about what a mayor is responsible for doing. Now, you probably have an agenda of things you want to talk about, so I don't want to force this conversation, and our phone lines are open at 223-9300. We talk a lot about jobs, so let's stay on the jobs. I want to get to infrastructure, though, because sure. There's a lot of concern that, you know, we're kind of crumbling beneath our feet here in Quincy, so jobs. Of course, if you take credit, you know, if you say, isn't it great Knapheide's expanding, then you also have to say, wasn't it terrible when Trinity went out? So as a politician, we always see you there when they're, when they're breaking ground, but sometimes when the moving truck is going out of town, the politician isn't around. You'd be
But here's where I take issue with that. We all were very disheartened when Quincy Compressor announced that they were going to be moving. And anybody that works at Quincy Compressor knows that I stepped up and got a task force together to try to keep them here.
Right.
And quite frankly, we knew that that was most likely going to be a losing battle. But I knew those 150 men and women who worked in Quincy Compressor were worth fighting for. And even though the deck was stacked against Quincy, Illinois on that one, I went to bat for them. And if Trinity Industries would have given us that same opportunity, I would do it all over again for them. So I do take issue with that. But also, there's a direct way that government helps and an indirect way that government helps with job creation. First, let's look at the indirect way. We know that Knapheide Manufacturing didn't need the city of Quincy to build their new facility, right? But they also had to know that they have a business-friendly environment here, that we're not going to go in and over-regulate them or over-tax. So they have to trust the leadership in their state and in their local economy. So that's an indirect way. But let's look at a direct way. Coal Wholesale has worked on three projects with the city of Quincy. First was rebuild of 2nd Street. The second was rebuild of York Street, where we went in, partnered with them, the state of Illinois, and the city of Quincy to rebuild those streets. Upgrade them. We brought in over $1 million worth of state funding, and in turn, Coal Wholesale agreed to hire 44 jobs. But also, when I first started, again, I went around to employers, and Cole Wholesale said our property on Highway 57 is not in the enterprise zone. The enterprise zone, if you remember 4 years ago, was going to sunset and we had to reapply. And so we worked with Cole Wholesale to put that property into the enterprise zone. When it was renewed, then they were wanting to build this new facility and were extending sewers. So they're able to do that and it drives the cost of that facility down. That's a direct way. That's a direct way we can help. The indirect way is the NAV5 manufacturing. And so certainly we're very appreciative of our employers investing and what we've done. Few communities in Illinois can say that they have an ADM that's investing $43
million. Right.
NAV5 manufacturing, 250 jobs, Cole Wholesale, Denman Medical. But let's also talk about the next 4 years and how we can continue to grow the economy.
Well, you know, that is a feather in your cap. And like you said, government doesn't really create jobs. Private industry creates jobs. But the city of Quincy has been favorable partners mm-hmm. with them. And we've seen this in years past under other mayors, too. Sure. When Prairie Crossings first came in, we had to get water and sewer, jump the interstate. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people are like, we need to build it down here. They were mad. So, as always, whatever you do, somebody's mad at you. You've probably found that out in the last 4 years, haven't you, Mayor Moore?
It's all right.
So we've got a pretty, well, really, here's our problem. Our unemployment is so low. The reason we have jobs that go wanting is because, like you said, a lot of people can't pass a drug test, which kind of goes back into the crime aspect of it. Part of the reason I think we're having these, if you look at every crime in Quincy, and it's easy to look at almost every crime in Quincy because we're so small, when people murder each other around here, a lot of it's drug related. Mm-hmm. For people who know each other and they're in a dispute over drugs.
Well, if you talk to Chief Copley, he says if you're not hanging around drug dealers and murderers, you're safe in the city of Quincy. And when we found out that Quincy was not going to be immune to the rise in violent crime that's sweeping our nation, we started to look at the numbers of and the statistics of what was causing the crime, and we found out it was people who knew each other and most likely were involved and under the influence of drugs or alcohol, which is why the Chief of Police, the Quincy Police Department, and I have formed and are working on that Quincy Turnaround Partnership, which helps address people who are dependent on drugs and alcohol, gives them the opportunity and a choice. Either one, if you want to continue down the road of making bad decisions, our judicial system is going to throw the book at you. However, if you want to be a positive influence in the city of Quincy and Adams County, we want to give you the tools that you need to, one, be over your addiction, but two, if there's something that's stopping you from getting a job, let's say a face tattoo or you don't have clothes or a bus pass, we're going to help connect you to those things so that way you can be a positive member and a contributing member of our society, and that's what the Quincy Turnaround Partnership does.
So let me ask you a pointed question. I mean, because you just mentioned the face tattoo. Have you got a plastic surgeon who's doing pro bono work?
No, I mean, but there are things that you can do. There's you know, cover-ups that you can have, and we can work with them to do that. But those are just some of the issues that people find, you know, especially if they're re-entering our society. Maybe they've been in jail or in prison, and we just want to make sure that everybody, regardless of their background and their past, has an opportunity to, fulfill their dreams in Quincy.
And you're right, we're a conservative community, and a lot of times people see especially a neck tattoo or a hand tattoo or, God forbid, a face tattoo, and they immediately judge that person and, frankly, put them in a category. And, of course, that person may not be that way anymore, you know.
Well, no, my cousin has a tattoo shop, so I love those people. It keeps them in business, so.
Please, don't put one on your face, though, okay?
Yeah, well.
Can we stop the line there? Well, Mayor Moore, we have one person on hold and other people who want to get in, so we're going to go right to our phone lines. Because above all, the Mary Griffith Show wants to hear from our local callers. So, good morning. You're on the air with Mayor Kyle Moore. He's running for re-election. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I have a question to ask him.
Yes.
Are we ever going to get our bus system back to where Saturday you can have more than two or three buses at a time?
Mm-hmm.
Great question.
Sure. So, right now, the bus schedule right now is formed on the on the funding from the state of Illinois. You know, most recently we were actually thinking we were going to have to shut down the Quincy Transit lines. And we were looking at not only expanding those hours back on Saturday, but also countywide transit. And we had private dollars that were willing to help us expand out to the county. But we felt that it wasn't fair to expand service or expand hours and then have to take them away a few months later. And so right now, if we can get some type of resolution in the state of Illinois, that would help. And it would help us look at expanding those hours. And one of the things that we're talking about with the strategic plan initiative is, do we need to extend hours into the nighttime? You know, weekdays, if you work, you know, second or third shift, you know, the bus can get you to your job or to John Wood Community College, but necessarily can't get you home. And so we're looking at ways that we can increase mass transit in the city of Quincy. But since we've had to borrow money and, you know, over the last 2 years, and with the threat of the state of Illinois not paying us back, they fund us 90% for the transit.
That's what one thing I want to reiterate. So it's 90% state funded. So, yes, you'd love to have all these things if we had the money. But as mayor of Quincy, this is almost an area where your hands are pretty much tied, because you have to work within the budget constraint the state puts on you. The local fares don't pay. I mean, that would not cut it at all.
But I also want to remind people, we have a transit advisory committee, which is not only filled with aldermen, but people who use the system and agencies who use it, like the senior center. And so they help the city of Quincy make funding decisions and the hours that we operate.
Okay. We're going to head right to our next caller, because the phone lines are lit, and that's what it's all about. Your question or comment for Mayor Kyle Moore.
Yes, I live in Lake Ridge subdivision, so I'm sure that Mayor Moore knows where this conversation is going. We have no water pressure out here. The alderman for this ward described it comparable to the drool coming out of a dog's mouth. A new pump station was put in at the Wisman Lane Water Tower. I think October, November it started use. I've noticed no difference in our water pressure at all. We're now having a school open up right next door to us in the coming 2 years. I wonder if we're ever going to get another water tower out in the east end of town so we have a little water pressure.
Okay, that's sure. A good question.
Yeah, so one of the things as an alderman that I heard representing that area of town was water pressure. And we have not built a new water pump station since the 1950s. The residents over at Lake Ridge experienced water pressure that was 1 PSI above the state mandated minimum. We identified with the alderman and with the city council funding to build a new water pump station. That is now online. What we have to do, though, Mary, is we have to increase the water pressure slowly, because we have old pipes down there. And so if we put it on full blast right away, it would burst everybody's pipes in our system. And so we're working to increase that. We also had to find a valve in the whole city of Quincy that was causing the water pressure not to increase over in that area. We found that last month. So I would say to those residents, you should start seeing, and we have measured the PSI, and it has increased over in that area, but you should see continued increase in your water pressure.
So you'll notice it eventually is what the mayor is promising. Of course, he'd like it to be done before April 4th or whatever he likes to say. This is one of those things where I'm sure he's out personally looking for that valve, that's for sure. We'll keep going with one more caller. We'll take this call and then we'll take a break. But you're on the air for Mayor Kyle Moore. What's your question?
Hi, I would just like the mayor to talk briefly about the retail situation in our community. You know, it just seems like a lot of people are leaving, and they don't have are replaced with anything substantial, and then the new things that do come in are so redundant in our community that it's just kind of mind-boggling. I mean, you know, the Mattress Firm came in last year. I never see anybody in that parking lot, and now Slumberland is coming into the mall, but they just left last year.
Okay, well, we get the idea, because we're running out of time, but thank you. Retail, this is very intriguing, because, again, I don't know what the mayor can do about this except fight for economic development. These people obviously think they can make a living here if they invest in our community. But the other thing is, and you're one of those young professionals, Mayor Moore, so many people buy online now.
That's it. So we're fighting a trend that's across our nation where people, you know, go online first and then to your local store second. And we really need to flip that.
How can we? Okay, I'm old. I'm old enough to be your mother and probably cranky enough to be your grandmother. So you're part of that generation, you young kids, you. How, Kyle Moore, do we get the youngsters to understand that, yeah, you can buy everything off Amazon and have it shipped to your home, but that doesn't help pave the road in front of your street, front of your house, and it certainly doesn't help get water pressure out to Lake Shore Drive or
whatever.
Well,
first there's promotion, and we work on it with Small Business Saturdays and Shop Local and things like that. But we also have to work with our malls and our retailers to make them more competitive. So, for example, we recently redid the incentive program for the Quincy Mall, and they're really facing a challenge where it used to be that stores wanted to have 90,000 square feet because they needed a lot of inventory, right? Well, now they want about 40,000 square feet. But that means that they can get things faster, and so hopefully those stores can actually have the things faster to you than if you ordered them online. And so we're working with them not only to make the mall and Prairie Trails and downtown an attractive environment for you to go, but also have more of an experience. So if you look at downtown, you can shop there, you can eat there, maybe go to have a beer or wine if you want to at the park bench. And so we're really finding that if we can make shopping an experience, people are going to stay local and shop local.
But this retail problem is a real problem because sales tax revenue is a huge driver of what Quincy spends. And so really when people make the choice to not buy in the city of Quincy, they're making a choice whether they want to admit it or not to not support our
town.
And
we have to talk about incentive programs because what the city of Quincy does not do is incentivize competition from one store to the other. So the mall and Prairie Trails, we incentivize actual upgrades to the buildings. But what you find in other cities is that they incentivize Bloomington and Champaign, just incentivize Portillo's to come into their cities. That's a Chicago restaurant. They did that because that way they can attract Chicagoans to their city. But also then, if you are a small restaurant in Bloomington or Champaign, your city is now incentivizing your competition. So everybody wants an Olive Garden. And I say to myself and people who ask me that, do you think Roberto at Tiramisu would like if I incentivized his direct competition?
And you know what makes me mad?
Yeah.
We're getting off the topic.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm running for mayor, but... Go to Tiramisu.
Yeah.
If you want real Italian food, we've got the guy from Aroma right here. He's going to make it
yeah.
for you.
So it's an interesting conversation to have because there are cities that incentivize these things, but then we'd be incentivizing competition for our existing businesses, and I'm not sure they would be too happy.
Well, and this was the problem when, Prairie Crossings came in. A lot of people said, look, we can't keep businesses downtown. We can't keep businesses in Midtown. Why are we building yet another shopping complex out there?
But the conversation there was they were paying for sewer and water, which then extended our city boundaries and increased property taxes. So it wasn't actually incentivizing those stores directly.
Right, and that's the difference. We've got to take a break. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, only 10 minutes left in this hour, and we've talked a lot about Mayor Moore's accomplishments, and he's been able to outline in the 4 years things he's significantly pushed forward. Of course, we're re-electing him, so he can't just sit on his laurels. He has to have a plan for the future, and you do. So,
yes.
Mayor Moore, if we give you another 4 years, yes. what will you do for us, baby?
One of the things that I talked about, again, with jobs being my number one focus in office, is really looking at what we can do to grow our economy. And we have a wonderful sectors when it comes to agriculture, healthcare, manufacturing, but tech is the number one growing sector in our nation. We also are going to have an opportunity with the new schools, that there are going to be some old schools that are going to need to be reused and repurposed to meet the needs of our community. So one of the things I propose is to work with the Quincy Business and Technology Center, some of our economic development loan funds, for a tech incubator. That's something that I believe can help add another sector to our growing economy. I also talked about for growing our economy, we need to look at what I call smart growth solutions. So if our schools are going to be built to our north, east, and south and expand, that's going to change the way our traffic patterns are in the city of Quincy. It's going to change the way that our pedestrian and bike traffic in the city of Quincy. What are we going to do to be proactive to address those changes? And so let's put some money aside when we have budgetary savings. So if we need signalization on 48th and Columbus Road or 36th and Columbus Road, we have some money set aside. Or if we need to put a bike path in, we can do that. The other thing I talked about, we talked about crime in our community or any community, it's really can happen when neighborhoods become blighted, when there's not active property owners in those. And so I talked about neighborhood revitalization. Let's revitalize our neighborhoods from Jefferson to Locust Street, 12th West, by doing a few things. First, we have a Fix Your Flatten program. It's a wonderful program that addresses blighted and abandoned properties. But let's also say if you are somebody who wants to take that over for the city and either tear down the property or and build a new home or take it over and remodel it, we will give you a tax rebate because we were going to own that property anyway.
Right.
And so let's do that to incentivize active homeowners. Let's do a, we have a central business district revolving loan fund, which incentivizes people to buy buildings downtown and then upgrade them if they were owner-occupied buildings. Let's do that with those homes, too, to say if you're buying a home in those neighborhoods and there's some cost to upgrades and maybe you need a low-interest loan, but you're gonna live there, let's have a loan program for you. And also, we are a city that has beautiful local landmarks. We have over 100 local landmarks in the city of Quincy that not only adds to the character and the culture of our community, but brings tourism dollars in. And so let's work on an incentive program where people can make upgrades to those local landmarks and make sure we're preserving them and keeping them in pristine conditions. And so we've outlined specific ways that we can do those things.
Well, you mentioned that. We had this a little bit of a brouhaha when the Harold Wig wanted to expand mm-hmm. next door, which is very logical for them to expand right adjacent to themselves, but it happened to be a historic building. However, you know, the people that own the historic building didn't really have the money to fix it up, and they were happy to sell it. And so how did you come down on that? Just were you pro Harold Wig? I'll just pro mm-hmm. Harold Wig taking that over, mm-hmm. or were you, no, we've got to save this old building?
No, and that's where my opponent and I both supported the efforts of the Harold Wig because the building was not maintained, and we felt for the Harold Wig it made a lot of sense. But it also, I think, made us all look at ways, what are ways that we can be proactive? And so I know the Quincy Preservation Commission and Quincy Preserves are now outlining better outreach to property owners to say, hey, is there something you need? Is there something? Because we have the facade program here. We have tools if people know about that.
Don't wait until it's the 10th hour,
exactly.
You know. Yeah.
So I think it was a good teachable moment for our community. And it also made me look at what are other communities doing to incentivize. And so we looked at programs in Georgia, Texas, and other cities in Illinois and said, you know what, there is a small thing that we can do, which is to give you a tax rebate on your city portion for the money that you would reinvest in these local landmarks. And so if we can help bring those costs down, that helps preserve the very fabric of our community, and that's something that I think has not been concentrated on that we have a huge opportunity over the next 4 years.
Fixer Flatton gets into some legal issues, which, of course, the mayor can't control, whoever the mayor is, but the old paper box company, I mean, they've got a mayor for more for mayor sign in that window, whether you want it there or not, I don't know, but, you know, things like that. What's going to happen there? How can this? That has been an eyesore and a blight, and it's blocked off and it's fallen down. And
well, I think with our new strategic plan initiative, something we're going to discuss of, you know, do we need different incentive zones? We have the TIF district right now, which has been great downtown, but are there different areas in our city who are falling behind, and what are ways that we can innovate our approaches to making sure there's private investment? And so we continue to work to bring private investors in and take a look at our available buildings and talk to them about the program. So one of the things that I've discussed with you, Mary, many times is that our incentive tools, a lot of them for business development and city redevelopment, were designed 20 and 30 years ago. And that's why we're having the strategic plan, which is being led by former mayors Nissen and Schultz, Republican and Democrat, with 180 community members. That's something that I ran on 4 years ago, was the need to do this and to say, how can we modernize what we're doing in the city of Quincy and make us competitive, not just for today, but for future generations?
We're out of time, and it's always too short, but I want to give Mayor Kyle Moore a chance to give a 3-minute or 2-minute wrap-up. 2-minute wrap-up, yeah. And any point we didn't discuss,
yes.
You got it.
Well, Mary, it has been the biggest honor of my life to serve as mayor of the city of Quincy. And, you know, 4 years ago, we were still struggling with our hydropower, whether we were going to do it or not, and we'd already lost $5 million. We had a budget that planned on spending more than we took in, and infrastructure was not a high priority for us. And today, we are out of the hydropower business. We have a budget surplus, operating surplus. We've increased the amount of our emergency reserves. We've doubled the investments in streets, sewers, and sidewalks. But above all things, Mary, I'm so proud of what's happened in this community over the last 4 years. We are a community that is building all new elementary schools. We are a community that raised our hand and said, raise our taxes so we can build a new law enforcement facility. We're a community whose employers are not only adding jobs, but building all new facilities. Look around in Missouri, Iowa, and certainly in Illinois. There are few cities in Illinois who could tell our story. I think it's a great story, and that's why I want to continue to be your mayor over the next 4 years.
Thank you very much, Mayor Kyle Moore.